Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I am presenting a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of John, and in this program, I'm speaking about the end of verse 10, John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus spoke about the reason why he came. He came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. The end of verse 10, John chapter 10, verse 10 says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In the previous message, I spoke about two different points of view that you could consider this verse. The first point of view is from an eternal perspective, that he came that we might have eternal life. And that certainly is true. He may have intended to speak about that in this verse when he said that this is why he came. He came that we might have eternal life and have it to the extent that we would never need any other. Another point of view is to consider it from a physical perspective in the sense of our physical lives, that he may have come that we might have an increase in our physical lives to the extent that we would need no more. And I explained this in the previous message from the perspective of four categories, just taking our physical life and dividing it up into four different categories. The category of eating, and then working, resting, and doing maintenance. And there are a lot of people who look to God to participate in their physical lives in one or all of these four categories. But I do not see that this is what Jesus was intending to speak of when he said this in verse 10. In this program, I would like to speak of a third point of view, and this has to do with our spiritual lives that we live right now while we are physically alive. And so in the previous message, I spoke about our eternal life, spiritually speaking, our spiritual life when we physically die. But what about the time between now, or the time when we were saved, and the time when we physically die? That is another part of our life. And this is a spiritual existence. In addition to our physical existence, we are living a life from a spiritual point of view right now. And this is not eternal. This is a temporary spiritual life that we live right now. And yet it is very important because this is an opportunity right now for us to grow and mature and to know our God in ways that we will not be able to know him when we are in his kingdom. Because right now we are in a fallen world. We are in a world and we have a life that is filled with all kinds of tribulation and suffering and struggles. There are many wonderful opportunities through the struggles and the tribulations and difficulties of life, many opportunities to grow to know our God in a way that we never would without such struggles and difficulties that we have available to us. I'm not saying that to encourage you to find some more. I am confident that you have more than enough in your life right now, that whatever you have, they will work just fine. But this is important to understand, that we have a life right now, and we have a spiritual life right now. And it is true that Jesus came so that we could have an increase in our spiritual lives right now, while we are physically alive, and we can have an increase to the extent where we would need no more. We would have an abundant spiritual life while we are living physically at this time. I think that the best way to approach this would be to talk about this from the point of view of our needs. We were designed by our God to have some fundamental needs that we all have, and we express these desires and we express these needs in different ways, but we all share the common need for love. We all want to be loved. We all want to have some degree of acceptance. And we all want to have some sense of purpose in our lives and meaning in the sense that we would like to have an understanding of the world that we are a part of. There are many other needs that we have and many other words and ideas that we can use in order to describe the needs that we have or the emptiness that we might have that we would like to have fulfilled. But I generally refer to these four, love, acceptance, meaning, and purpose, because they're easy to address and I think most people can identify with these things quickly. So when we look at the end of verse 10 and we recognize that we have certain spiritual needs such as these, in verse 10, when Jesus said that he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, can also convey the truth that our God came to provide us with love. He came to provide us with acceptance and with meaning and purpose in our lives. This we know is true. And I think that Jesus was intending to say this when he said this to the people at this time when he was speaking about why he came. We have a deep need for acceptance, for example. And we will do all kinds of things in order to be accepted by other people, to include, engage in sin as may be necessary, in order to obtain the acceptance of others. It is a deep-rooted need that we have, that our God designed us to have. But he designed us in a way that only he can meet the need for acceptance that we really have. We may be able to find acceptance from others to some extent, and I don't want to discourage you from enjoying that when you are able to experience acceptance from others. But I think it's very important for us to understand and to recognize and to embrace the fact that no one will be able to accept us in the way that we genuinely need in the depths of our being. Our God created us in a way that only he can meet that need. And he's not going to share you with anybody else in that regard. He's not going to share you. He created you so that he would be the only one who would accept you perfectly. And he's not going to allow anyone else to do that. He will provide you with acceptance to the extent that you will have all that you could possibly ever need. That is the abundance of the life that he came to give you. And in the previous message, I explained that from an eternal point of view, he has provided you with his life. His Spirit, the life of God, dwells within you as part of salvation. You were made spiritually alive in a permanent way when you surrendered to him in the context of the gospel. He resides within you. He is in you. His Spirit, his being, dwells within the very core of your spirit. Now, I think you can identify with what I mean when I say that if somebody accepts you, they will be in your presence. That is one way of enjoying the acceptance of somebody else, that they will be in your presence. They will be in your life. They will physically be in your proximity. This is an expression of acceptance that we can certainly enjoy. Well, your God dwells within your spirit. He is in you. He is alive, living within you, participating in your life and giving you opportunities to participate in His. This is a measure of acceptance, that you can see that He is within you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. This is a way of understanding that He accepts you, and you can enjoy and be at peace with this acceptance that you have a need for in the deepest part of your being, in the deepest part of who you are. We have a need for purpose. One of the ways that people can understand the need for purpose from a physical point of view in their physical lives is to define a standard of living. People will define a standard of living. They will define, you know, this is where I would like to live, or the kind of dwelling place that I would like to have. This is the kind of transportation that I would like to have. This is the kind of food I would like to eat. This is the kind of work that I would like to do. These are the different ways that I would like to experience rest, and this is the kind of maintenance that I will be willing to do in my life. These are standards that people will live by. People will define a set of standards to say, these are the standards that I would like to have in my life, the kinds of relationships that I would like to have. There are many different ways that people can define their standards, but their standards do become the definition of their purpose. Their purpose in life is to achieve these certain standards that define their life from a physical point of view. And in the previous message, I mentioned that there are four different categories that you can use in order to help define the standards by which you want to live. And this establishes your sense of purpose. But what people will discover is that even after they accomplish this, they define their standards for life, and they achieve their standards for life, that they will still feel a sense of emptiness, a sense of being incomplete. Now, of course, most people never get to this point, but for those who do, who actually succeed in accomplishing the full standards that they want, and their life is driven by this, their purpose in life is to achieve these things, when they do, if they ever do, when they do, they will discover that they still have a sense of emptiness, that it still does not provide them with the fulfillment that they thought, that they believed, that it would accomplish, because we have a need that can only be met by our God. It is only through our relationship with our God that we will achieve, experience, rest in the fullness of the desire for purpose that we have in our lives. He gave an example here in verse 10 where he said, "This is why I came. I came for this purpose. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." He came for many other purposes than just that, but this is a definitive purpose that he proclaims. This is why I am here. I am here for this. And you also will need to understand that you are here for more than just the indulgence of your flesh. You are here for more than just to define a set of standards in your life and fulfill those standards. You're here for more than that. You were created for more than that. And in the depths of your spirit, God will not let you get away from this design that you have. He will not let you get away from it. You will always feel a sense of being incomplete unless you are fully engaged with your God and with the purposes that He has designed you to be a part of, and the purposes that He would like you to be a part of in this world, at this time, in this day and age. He will prepare works for you to do. He will invite you to be a participant in the activities and in the things that He is involved in. This is a significant part of the purpose for which you were created and for the purpose for which you were recreated when you were made into a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, I can only speak about this in generalities because this really is an individual experience between each person and their God. The relationship that He has defined for us is an individual relationship. It is not a collective relationship. The gospel does not define a collective relationship. It does in the sense of the body of Christ. There is a place to describe the gospel and the relationship in a collective sense. But for the most part, it really is an individualistic relationship. And so when it comes to your unique needs for acceptance and for purpose, I can only testify that your God will meet these needs for you personally. But only you can experience the reality and the fulfillment of what I'm able to testify of. We have a deep need for meaning in our lives. We would like to understand the world that we are a part of, and our God, who dwells within us, He lives within us, He is alive, living within you, and you have His life to the extent that you will need no more. There will be times when you are living in this world, physically alive. There will be times that in the depths of your spirit, you will want to have, you will need to have, an understanding of the world that you are a part of, an understanding of a circumstance that you are confronted with, an understanding of a person who is in your life. And the God who lives within you will be able to illuminate your spirit so that you will be able to see through His eyes. You will be able to hear through His ears. This can happen in a daily experience when you have encountered something and you can ask your God, what do you see happening here? What do you understand about what is going on here? You are within me. You're with me. We are here together. You are hearing through my ears. I want to hear through yours. What are you hearing? You can see through my eyes, but I also want to see through yours. What are you seeing? And this is relationship. This is two people relating with one another. And as He illuminates things to you, as He gives you discernment, as He gives you understanding, then there will be a sense of meaning in your life. A deep sense of meaning. And through your relational experience with your God, that's either inspired through your prayer to Him and asking Him, or He will just open up to you and share things with you in the depths of your spirit. And you will know that it is He who is speaking, because you know you would never have come to those kinds of interpretations or understandings, and you just know that it is completely consistent with all the other things that you know about your God. It must be Him who is revealing something to you. But this is an aspect of meaning that we have a need for. You will see people who have no relationship with God at all. You will see people, you will watch people grasping for some sense of understanding of the world that they are a part of. Unfortunately, in most cases, people are wanting to come up with a meaning or definition that they like, that they feel comfortable with, that fits well in the framework of what they want their life to be like, or how they want reality to be. So it's a real struggle for a lot of people. But for us, we have an opportunity to rest in the definitions that our God establishes. We can rest in His point of view, in His understanding, in His perspective, in His purposes. So our need for meaning in our life can be very well fulfilled through our relationship with our God, and this is definitely one of the reasons why Jesus came when he said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." When it comes to love, it's the same thing as acceptance, purpose, and meaning. We have a deep desire to be loved, and our God loves us perfectly. Unfortunately, it is common for people who believe in God to believe other things that get in the way of recognizing that our God loves us perfectly. This is a huge, enormous struggle. It is an abundant struggle that Christians experience in their lives, that there is an abundance of different things that we can believe or we can be told or that we can think that will take us away from the love of God, that will make us believe or feel or somehow think that we are not really loved by our God perfectly. People will say sometimes, yes, you are loved by God perfectly in one sense, but in another sense, no, not really. And that will destroy, absolutely destroy, the relationship between us and our God. Does he love you or does he not? And people will say, he does, but he doesn't. And there are so many creative, theological ways of doing this. An absolute abundance of theological ways that people will say he does, but he doesn't. And this is an important struggle for every Christian to go through, and often it will take years and years to wrestle with this issue. But when the day comes that you are able to surrender to the truth that he truly loves you, and this generally comes from the recognition that he doesn't hold your sins against you at all and never will, which comes from your understanding of the forgiveness that he provided when he died for the sins of the world on the cross. These are the transitions that happen. You recognize the forgiveness you have. You recognize that he doesn't hold your sins against you anymore. You recognize that he accepts you. You recognize that he loves you. And when you rest in the love that he has for you, it will set you free from the different ways that you pursue love in the world. And there are a lot of ways that people pursue love from others. Many of these ways would be described as sin. And you know, there's an odd way that people engage with each other and establish relationships. An odd way in the sense that if you have one person who's looking for love, then for some reason there is this belief that if you can find another person who is looking for love, well, we just get these two people together and everything will be perfect. Everything will be just fine. You have one person who wants to be loved and another person who wants to be loved. Hey, just get these two people together and they will love each other. But it doesn't work that way. What you get is, in my opinion, well described as two ticks and no dog. All right? I mean, if they had a dog, then they can suck the life out of the dog. But when you got two ticks who are going after each other saying, "Give me, give me, give me, give me," and neither of them really have to give what the other wants, well, then they end up just sucking the life out of each other and destroying each other, because we were not created by our God to obtain the love that we want from someone who he created. He won't share us with somebody else. He created us so that we will only have this need met by him and him alone. And when we will receive what he offers us in truth, then we will have all the love that we need in abundance to the extent that we will need no more. And yes, it will set us free from the temptations, the dishonest temptations, such that we might feel like we are loved if we will so engage. But there are also lots of opportunities to be genuinely loved by others, and we can enjoy those too. But never forget and always live your daily life with the abundance of the love that your God has for you. And I will continue in the next program. Thank you for listening. In this program, I spoke about the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And the way that I explained this verse in this program was to say that we have a spiritual existence. We have a spiritual life while we are physically alive right now. And this spiritual life that we have can be described as our pursuit of trying to fulfill the spiritual needs that we have. The needs for love, acceptance, meaning, and purpose, just as an example. And because of what Jesus has done for us, he can meet the deepest needs that we have in this regard. And so through our relationship with him right now, he can provide us with an abundant life from a spiritual point of view to meet the deepest needs that we have in the very core of our spirit as we live our physical lives until we are physically dead. And I will continue with this in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.